Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings. I'm Queen Mother Imaku. Welcome to Wat Dau, the Kemetic Path to Peace. I'm so glad that you joined me today. And this is the first of many episodes to come. I will be here every Thursday from 1 to 2 Eastern Standard Time. And the good thing about Blog Talk Radio is that if you miss it, then you can go to the archives. I'm so very pleased to have been invited by Daniel Michaels into the Main Street Universe Network. And, you know, the odd thing is, I was just contemplating whether or not I should go back into radio. You know, I have a couple of shows that are listed here on Blog Talk. And, you know, it's so much... It's so much, and I already have a lot going on with my ministry, and, you know, but I thought the timing was right, and on that same day, I was contemplating this, and I got the phone call, not only to be a guest, but also to host my own show. Last night, I was on Main Street Universe and had a wonderful, wonderful time with Daniel and Sister Janice, and so already feel... quite welcome. The Kemetic Path to Peace. Well, not too many people talk about the fact that you can achieve inner peace through Kemetic spiritual traditions. Yes. Most people, when they approach the Kemetic Path or Wat Kemau, are seeking, they're seeking knowledge. They're seeking self-empowerment. They're looking for the mystery systems and trying to figure out how to incorporate those principles into their lives because they feel helpless and hopeless. And many people gravitate toward things that seem extremely powerful so that they can feel like they have a better handle on their own lives. However, people seem to miss the spiritual component. And it's not just rituals, it's not just what you wear, it's not just what you say, because certainly there is a culture, a Kemetic culture that exists, and I'm very pleased to be part of that that culture and that community. But still, there are many who don't really quite get the point. As you come into greater knowledge and experience with the Comedic Guardians and with the self-discipline and rebirthing of yourself that goes along with the Comedic path, you also find that you come to a place of inner peace. Now, I'm speaking from experience, and I never thought that all these years later that I would be sitting here talking about specifically the path to peace through the Comedic path. I have found peace because I have connected and reconnected with our ancient ancestral traditions. So, yes, that gives me a good measure of peace because, you know, in African tradition, and the Comedic path is African, it is one of the oldest African-centered traditions that exists. And I say exists, not existed, because it is still alive. As long as we are still practicing our ancestral traditions today, it lives. But, again, I found a great deal of peace because of the fact that so many of us who have experienced having our traditions taken from us, buried, altered, all this that has separated us from the core of who we are, especially for those of us in the Americas, where our ancestors came in as enslaved Africans. And from that point, we became divorced from our traditions. So the whole notion of reclamation is very heartening. It's fulfilling. It gives certainly peace of mind. But I have discovered a new level of peace within that in the Baptist Church, they say the peace that passes all understanding. That's what's in the Bible. And I must tell you that I have found certainly a peace that passes all understanding through this path. Today we're going to be talking about Hetep. In the opening, I play the strains of the beautiful music from Freddie O. Moises. He has provided music for a few of the cuts on my current CD, which is called Solstice. And later on, you'll get to hear the song Hetepu, which is actually not just a song, but it is also Heka'u. You'll hear a lot of Comedic words. You'll learn a lot of Comedic words if you listen to my show, because we keep the language alive, too, in our community. Hetepu, which means peace and blessings. When Freddie first sent me the track, I immediately heard what you will hear later, the Heka'u to go over it, and also the song to go with it. But Hetepu, peace and blessings. That's something that's really popular that's said and shared in African-centered cultural communities. And it's kind of catching on because I've noticed that there are some people in the mainstream who started to say it as well. What does it really mean to have peace and blessings, at least according to the Comedic tradition? Let's break down what Hetepu is, or Hetep, the root word. Hetep means peace, but it also means an inner satisfaction. It means a sense of well-being that you attain from being a good person and from knowing that you have helped others. It is not a self-absorbed consciousness. Many people approach spiritual traditions looking for inner peace, but they kind of stay in their own little bubble. And if you are hiding from the world, then it's not the same as facing the challenges and working through those challenges in order to know how stay in a place of peace even in the midst of chaos. Yes, it is possible. And actually, that's how it is honed. Okay, but now let's look at the symbol. Those of you who are listening right now and at your computer, you might want to open another window and Google Hetep tablet, ancient Egypt. Many of you know that the original name for Egypt came from the Greeks. Egyptos. The true name of Kemet or Egypt is Kemet or Tamera, the beloved land. Kemet is the black land. There are some challenges. Some people want to present whether it was referring to the people or to the silt that would come up from the bottom of the hapi, the rich soil that would fertilize the land during Weperen Put, and we'll talk about Weperen Put in just a little bit. Personally, from research and from reading various documents, if you will, that were left behind by our ancestors, they were referring to the black people who inhabited the land, therefore making it the black land. But if you Google either Kemet or Egypt, when you put in Hetep, H-E-T-E-P, for those of you who are there, I'm sure you're looking at a slab right now, or you're looking at the Medinetcher. Medinetcher is what we call the hieroglyph. Medinetcher means the words of God. Medu, words. Netur is the word, for lack of a better term, God, the high creative force from which we all flow, and that flows through us. The Hetep tablet. The Hetep tablet was used in ceremony as a place to put your offerings. I just had five of my students graduate from our Kemetic Seminary, Akelu Temple of the True Living Waters Kemetic Seminary, and took place in Virginia, three in Virginia, students down there, and then two up here in New York. And when each of the initiates entered, they were carrying their version of a contemporary Hetep tablet. It's a tray. It was a tray that carried the wine, the bread, for the for offerings to present before the Necheru. The Necheru are the guardians for the various aspects of the one creative force, the gods and goddesses, if you will, for lack of a better term. And in presenting the Hetep tablet, there were two ways that was very significant. One, if you had a loved one who had transitioned and you were presenting this tablet with the offerings on it as a way of appeasing the Necheru, it's a way of sort of remembering to make these offerings for your ancestor, and also asking that the ancestor be granted peace in his or her afterlife. So usually it will be presented in a specific place in the temple. But also, the main reason that it was used was for the priests and priestesses who carried it into service, to carry the Hetep tablets with the appropriate offerings on it. Again, you're talking about wine, you're talking about fruit, you're talking about bread, particularly the wine and the bread. It was a way of saying, I present myself to you. My life is a living sacrifice. I am the offering. To be a priest or priestess means that you are called in the same way that a minister in traditional faith practices is called, and you are sacrificing your old life and stepping into a new one. So the priests and priestesses who presented themselves for initiation carried in their Hetep tablet to show that they had done the work and now they were ready to enter into service as a Kemetic priest or priestess. Okay. So, by the way, that indicates, because Hetep means sacrifice, and I'm not talking about going out and cutting up some animals. I'm talking about character sacrifice. Character sacrifice, meaning that you are going to do your best to be the very best person that you can be and move into a higher level of consciousness and of living. To obtain peace. It must be a regular way of life. Something is done systematically is called ma'at or ma'et. Ma'at is really supposed to be pronounced ma'et. Ma'et, shesh ma'et. On the regular, okay? It can't be something that you dabble at. It has to be worked at. And as you know, when you are approaching anything that is new to the body, you got to do it consistently, like with exercise. You're trying to lose some weight, you're trying to tone up. Doing it once a week is not going to get it. You've got to consistently be at it 5 to 7 days a week in order for you to achieve results that are beneficial. You can tell yourself that you're working out and in shape, and if you only go into the gym once in a blue moon, then you're lying to yourself. It's the same with your faith practice in being kema'u. Now, character sacrifice. All right, so how do you develop your higher character? Well, many of you know, and I've talked about this plenty of times before in my podcast, Nubia Goddess Rising, and in other guest appearances and on YouTube, that we predicate everything on the 42 laws, the 42 oracles of Ma'at. Through the 42 oracles, you are able to get rid of all the things that are not so cool about what you may do in life. it builds character, and it gives you a strong moral fiber, okay? Because, listen, the whole thing about peace, it extends pretty far. Because, in truth, if you are not in harmony with your environment, that can cause disruption to those around you, okay? It may feel convenient and comfortable for you as you open up your box of donuts or your candy bar and you pull off the wrapping and you throw them on the ground. That may be very convenient for you, especially if there is no garbage can around. However, if you've got a bunch of people with the same thought, then you're creating disfet or chaos, because what was beautiful now is not so beautiful. And for the people who live there, this is what's always interesting. I don't find that people will throw down wrappers and so forth, not in their own neighborhood. They'll go to somebody else's block and they'll do that. And so you're showing disrespect for where other people live. And you're now putting the burden of cleaning up after you on them. Even if you're doing it on your block, if you choose not to take responsibility for what you threw down, then you're asking for somebody else to take responsibility for it. Is that fair? No, it's not. Now, think about that in terms of your life. And the mess that you leave behind when your life is not at peace. Think about that. How many messes have other people had to do for you? Now, listen, don't get me wrong, because, you know, we all go through our struggles in life. And at times we need somebody to help us. We get overwhelmed with things. We may be encountering things with sickness, confusion. Sometimes you're dealing with other people's mess and it throws your life into chaos. And sometimes you need help. But if you are in a state of not knowing what to do to care for yourself, or you come to a place of relying on others and not developing the maturity necessary to conduct your own life, then you become society's problem. Let's take a look at some questions I want to ask. Try to check yourself to see if you are at peace. Okay? All right, first of all, do you complain a lot? I know people who complain all the time, always have something negative to say, and they just keep on that negative vibe. You can tell them that it's beautiful outside, and they'll say, yeah, but I heard it's going to rain tomorrow. or they're never satisfied with a certain level of things, you know, and always find something to nitpick about. Are you that person? Two, are you overly competitive? Now, healthy competition is okay. There are some who say that competition is not good, but in truth, a certain level of a competitive spirit does keep society progressing forward, because even look on the internet. How many times do you post something on Facebook and somebody realizes, you know, oh, I didn't know about that, and so then they'll keep the information and then pass it along. Well, even though the person may have taken the information because they want to seem like they are the ultimate authority, or you know, they are they are so wise and enlightened, and they now must share this with you. The fact is, as it gets passed along, a lot of other people are sharing in the knowledge. That helps to further society along. Okay, so there is a positive side to that. However, if you are constantly in a mode of trying to compete, always looking for something to conquer or someone to conquer, always trying to do more than keep up with the Joneses. You want to be the trendsetter all the time, and you will do anything at all costs to make sure that nobody bests you at anything. That's a problem. That's a problem. Generally, when that happens, there's something else going on where the person is feeling unfulfilled, and they're not willing to stop and take a look at really what is going on inside. Oftentimes, people are trying to run away from some aspect of what has happened in their lives. Taking the moment to check yourself is always key, always, okay? So, let's go back to the list here. Three, do you feel stuck in a rut? You know, it's really funny because rut is spelled R-U-T. In the Kemetic language, it is pronounced as rud, and rud refers to the root, the foundation, establishing something, also being in authority. So I think it's very interesting that rut is spelled the same way. And now, of course, we're talking about phonetically in keeping with what we know as the English language. But anyway, looking at being stuck in a rut. Well, in the Tarot, those of you who know Tarot, there is a card that is the Four of Cups. Four of Cups represents foundation, stability, a good, steady household. For those of you who have the Tarot of Burrows deck, which I am in the Cups suit in six of the cards, I portray the Queen of Cups. And if you look at your card that is the Four of Cups, you see that the man who's portraying my husband and I are at each other's throats. We are arguing because things have reached a place where it's too boring. And, you know, sometimes when things get a little too boring, people will do things to create excitement. So they'll snap out just so there'll be something going on, you know. Within that card, it means that you have the stability, but also it means that you may not necessarily appreciate what you have at home. Fighting for stability is, and maintaining stability is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But, you know, some people like to kind of step outside of their comfort zones. That's a good thing sometimes because, of course, you want to move forward. But if it's a thing where you are feeling, oh, you know what, this is really just it's too predictable. My life is too predictable. And so, therefore, you know, even though I am with this woman who has, or man who has been good to me, and, you know, we've had a really wonderful home, I'm going to go have an affair. And that then brings on another level of chaos. Now, the other side of being stuck in a rut is where you're too afraid to go out and to do anything. And you just kind of accept that, this is my life, and just much easier to just keep things this way. I talk about this to a certain extent in my book, Understanding Kemetic Magic, which is really a book about Kemetic culture and spirituality. And my book, The Cowry Blessings Book, New African Words of Wisdom. You can buy them as downloads at e-junkie.com/Queen Mother Imaku, I-M-A-K-H-U. So this all goes to the root, the root. If you are too unwilling to move forward because you're afraid or because it's too easy to just stay where you are, or if you are all over the place simply because you're afraid of stability. So that's something to look at. Okay, moving forward. Number four. Do you feel the need to change other people's world in order to suit your own liking? Do you change other people's world to suit yours? You know, I always find it very interesting when people come to my house. I live a very decidedly simple lifestyle. And some people, well, most people usually drop right into that vibe. And I mean, I really have made a conscientious effort to, well, I don't live like a monk, even though I did take a vow a few weeks ago to become a what would be considered a Kemetic nun. But, you know, I don't need a lot. I mean, what I have is very comfortable. And I like to refurbish things and so forth. But, you know, I wouldn't say that my place is posh. It's elegant. What do they call it? Shabby chic. but when people who are used to a lot more and things being really plush and somehow think like, poor Queen Mother, and, you know, decide, they're going to do this for me and do that for me. And or they'll come into my place and they'll start moving things around. You know, I'd rather have this over here because I'm used to having it that way in my house. Or I'm going to buy you this and make sure you have this because this is the brand that I use. And, you know, I just quietly observed that because I realized that what is truly going on is a certain level of discomfort in my comfort in simplicity. and generally, when people go into other people's environments, just period. Well, I mean, I've noticed these are people who do this not just in my place, but in other places too. They go in and just kind of take over, start moving things around the way they want it to be, start shifting the energy up to the way they want it, start governing the conversation. All of this. It generally has to do with, again, something that is internal that they're not looking at, and most times it is connected to some level of abuse or something else where they feel that something in their lives are not in control. That's usually what it's about. So people then turn control freak in other people's houses. And then if you look a little closer, then you may find that their own lives are not really all together. They put on the appearances that everything is together, but in truth, everything is not together. So is that going on in your life? Do you go in and try to control other people's space? Next, five. Are you flooded with feelings of longing but don't know what for? I talk to clients a lot who always talk about the challenges of living in this world, and certainly being on this plane of existence is a challenge, especially with the Western concepts that have been so heavily imposed upon the world. So you're bombarded with all kinds of images about what you should be. You should be this weight. You should have this hair color. You should have these things in your house. You should attain this in your career. You should be making X amount of money. You should be living in this kind of house, this kind of community. And oftentimes people will go after those things, but then still feel like there's something that's missing. Usually it's because a person's individual spiritual needs are not being met. Think about that. Okay, now, 6. Do you berate yourself? Are you one of those people always making little put-downs about yourself? You know, most people I've found who do that have grown up with an adult in their lives putting them down on a consistent basis. Buying into that, because truly, I mean, it's gone into the core of who you are. It goes all into your mind. It goes into every fiber of your being. If you're consistently told that you're worthless, you're nothing, what good are you? Well, such and such person is better at this than you are. Why do you want to do that? Your feet are too big. Your ears are too big. Your mouth is too big. I mean, basically all these things that are just saying, why are you here? So then you have adults that will go on telling other people, why am I here? Constantly putting themselves down, constantly thinking of themselves as lesser than. There's no internal peace with that. Certainly if you don't have any kind of a sense of positive sense of esteem. Do you big yourself up? What does that term mean? To big yourself up means that you are constantly hyping yourself. You're constantly telling everybody how fabulous and wonderful you are, how wrong the rest of the world is because you, in your fabulousness, are the high benchmark, and nobody does anything like you. You are just great, great, great. And, of course, with that, there's usually some kind of an identity crisis with that, too. I mean, listen, there are plenty of people who are enabled into believing that they are the be-all and end-all and have a hard time accepting anything less. That's narcissism, okay? Narcissism is a huge problem, and that's another whole show. But then there are those who, because, talking about the previous characteristic, I found a way to compensate by telling everybody how fabulous they are because this is their way of convincing themselves and the world. And so they overcompensate. Okay. And, you know, that's really annoying, too. And so that's a problem. Let me just address that. Because somebody who is constantly talking about him or herself and making him or herself seem as though they are the best thing walking around, it creates discord. It's annoying because people don't want to hear all that, okay? I mean, just like with the complaining. I mean, it's the other side. The people don't want to hear all that either. I'm on the bus a lot. You know, for people who know me, you know, I do a lot of traveling and I do public transportation because I don't drive. And so I'm always hearing other people's conversations. Because of cell phones now, people are not aware of the fact that they are creating discord in the space that we're in. Because we're all sharing a space. You know, I want to hear about the latest pair of shoes that you bought or what you're making for dinner, or I don't want to hear you cussing out your boyfriend, okay? So that's, you know, but that's another form of egocentric behavior because somehow we have become convinced that it doesn't matter if we share loud phone conversations and it's not going to have an effect on others, and that's not so. Okay, next. Do you have a hard time holding on to friendships? I know folks who want to be friendly, don't really quite know how. Usually there's some kind of a problem going on with them where either they're choosing the wrong people or they are the problem and haven't quite figured that out yet and feel a great sense of dissatisfaction and loneliness because they just can't get a handle on why they can't seem to have friends. Next, is your household a disorganized mess? Now, you know, you can have comfort. Some people live with a sort of a comfortable chaos. And, you know, I understand that. Listen, I'm an artist. I understand that. However, if the chaos is something that has taken over your house, then generally it means it has taken over your life. And you can make excuses. You know, it's kind of a fine line to draw, because here I talked about going into other people's spaces and not recreating it to your liking. There are times when you have hoarders where people do try to help them out, but then what happens? Then the space just gets filled back in over and over and over again. Let me just say, going back to the point of going into somebody else's space and trying to rearrange it to your liking, there is a big lesson in going into somebody else's space and leaving it alone, because that's a you lesson. That is a learn how to accept people where they are lesson. Unless it's a situation where you can see the person is really reaching out and needs some kind of help, that's different. But now, if you are living in a household that is constantly ridiculously cluttered or filthy, then it reflects something that's going on in your life where you do not have peace. Oh, listen, there are people who make peace with their mess. You know, I can't say anything about that. But for people where there obviously is a problem where you can't even get in the house. I knew a woman who never had people over her house, and that's because she was a serious hoarder. But she stepped out the door, she looked like $1 million. But then you found out that she was really hungry for inner peace. But she didn't want to put in the work to do that, because that would have meant, first of all, that she would have had to get rid of the things that she was holding on to. She wasn't ready. So her house continued to be a hoarder's paradise. Okay, next. Is your house too clean? Is your house too organized? That's that control thing again. Okay? The idea of being able to then control and micromanage every jot and tittle in your environment usually means that you're afraid that things are going to fly to chaos. And that's not uncommon if you came up in a household where there was constant chaos. Or if you grew up in a household where it was constantly a tight ship and you didn't know how to function any other way. We in the Kemetic path believe in order. Ma'at is about, or Ma'at is about order, harmony, balance. But also being able to see. The root of Ma'at is Ma'ah. You have to be able to see. All right, so why do I have all this stuff? Why? Do I need all this stuff? And then from getting perspective, because Ma'ah is also about perspective and Ma'at also is about perspective, then you're able to step back and say, yo, wait a minute. You know what? This needs to be fixed. this is a lot. So, again, perspective and checking out why this being too organized is really a mess. Okay. 12. Is there a past trauma that is currently holding back and defining your life today? Many of us have dealt with severe trauma. Trauma is held in your body at the sacral. And in my teachings, I use the Kemetic words for the Aritu. You find out more about the classes. The Aritu are the chakras. To find out more about the classes, you can go to akheruministries.com. But holding on to past trauma, now that's there in the sacral. The sacral ideally is about holding on to the things that are sacred to you. Sacred to you. You have moved from the lessons of the root, pulling with you the best of what you have learned from your family, the best energy of your family and your ancestors, also having observed the worst. And usually, if you are present, you are deciding not to take the worst with you. You're moving out on your own, looking for healthy partnering, and moving out into the community. It's joy, it's creation. But when you are constantly reliving trauma and you're not working on releasing that energy, and I don't mean to just pretend it's not there. It is something that has to be worked through. You have to heal from it. If somebody lops off your foot, you can't just all of a sudden pretend like another foot is there. Okay? You've got to do something to heal the wound. You've got to do something. You can hopefully reattach if you need to, but the point is that if you have a severe wound, it must be addressed, and that's on the emotional level too. So, people who stay stuck in their trauma are constantly talking about the horrible thing or things that happened to them. They see the world strictly through that trauma and are not ready a lot of times to move forward because living with that pain has been all they have known. It's natural to hold on to the things that your body is familiar with, but just like when you decide it's time to maybe lose 5 or 10 pounds, this is a weight that you've got to shed as well. 13, are you easily irritated? Does every little thing bother you? And is it really because it bothers you or is something else bothering you? 14, I'm reading my own writing here. Are you sad? Are you sad? Depression is a real issue also. And here again, we're talking about the sacral. If you are depressed or just sad, because you can be sad but not necessarily be depressed. Being sad all the time, then it does, that would fall into the category of depression. But first of all, let's talk about being sad. In being sad, you just have this feeling of just not experiencing joy in your life. And it may be that you could have lost your job. We have life circumstances that change from moment to moment. Or it could be that things are not going well with a family member, or you may not feel well because of a health issue, or you may feel a sense of grief and sadness because you missed the mark on one of your goals. Okay, it's important to really sit down and assess that too, because you don't want your sadness to turn into depression. The wonderful thing about being Kemau, being a person of the Kemetic faith, is that when we do our prayers every day, we begin by facing the sacred east. East is not only the direction of the motherland, for those of us who are here in the States, but it is also the place of renewal. If you wake up and the sun meets you, or basically if you wake up to meet another day, that means that there is hope for change. That means there is hope for renewal. So it doesn't mean that you have to be stuck in that sadness. So just know that this is or can be temporary. If you're talking about depression, and if you have depressive disorder, then first of all, are you seeing someone? I am not above recommending counseling. In some cases, people do need medication. Not everybody needs medication. So people are really quick to go to the medication because it's a quick fix, which basically sometimes it will level people out, but I've known too many people where they've just checked out. That's not being a peace. It's a superficial kind of a peace. But if you have depression that has been ongoing for quite some time and has not been addressed, then you need to speak to someone, go to a counselor. If you need a psychiatrist, then go to a psychiatrist. And listen, I would give this warning, because if you're a very psychically perceptive person, you've got to be asked, do you hear voices? And that's like from the divine. That's us. We hear the voices of our ancestors and so forth. And generally, I don't tell people to lie, but I just want to say be very careful in how you answer that question, because according to the clinical world, you will be then labeled as schizophrenic or bipolar. The thing is that what happens in spiritual realms and spiritual understanding of spiritual circles is not viewed the same way in the medical world. So just be careful. Anyway, having someone to speak to and to be able to help you sort out what's going on is truly important. Don't let that depression go on, because that will continue to rule your life in a way that will bring another level of chaos. And certainly there is no peace if you're constantly depressed. Do you know who you really are? Some of us think we do. Next, are you afraid to be alone? Do you lie to people and yourself often? Can you face yourself? Do you exaggerate about a lot of different things, or do you just completely fabricate things? I knew a man who would go to lengths to come up with the most grandiose stories and would want to see, he would get a kick out of seeing how far he could go with the lie. And I don't mean like, you know, jokes and this kind of thing, but I mean, he really, in this very sick way, got off on how often he could lie and how often he could get away with it. But he was also an individual who constantly lied to himself about who he was. Back to the previous question, do you know who you really are? Sometimes people really do know and aren't happy about it and will go to lengths to try to cover it in that way. 18, do you live in manipulation mode? Now, those thoughts are very interesting, because that, in the same way that the person who lies all the time is constantly lying and, you know, has to go to these lengths to come up with this big old story, manipulation means that you're always on your haunches about how you're going to control people, okay, and how you're going to very slyly move things into the way that you want them to be. People who are always looking to get their own way, and generally people who always look to get their own way don't realize that sometimes they're depriving others because they're just focused on getting what they want, and if it means that they have to manipulate in order to get it, then that's what will happen. That also creates a certain level of upset. And again, it means that you do not see yourself and what your behavior is doing. And the last three, do you routinely hurt other people? Why? Now, that could be from systematically, some people just have it built in to let other people down or to say mean things. That, again, has to do with the individual and not with the individual who is being hurt. Do you constantly fill your life with objects or new objects or new classes, new places, because you are restless? If you have a hard time sitting still and settling in to something, then that's an issue. Now, it's wonderful to explore new things. It truly is. But I've seen people hop from one thing to another to another to another to another and not really taking the time to master any one thing. Mainly, they're not taking the time to master themselves. Today, with the Internet, we have so many people offering different classes. And many of us in the Comedic Path have talked about the fact that we have had the same students, because they usually bounce from this one to this one to this one to this one. They stay for a little bit, and then they bounce. They with this one and then they bounce. And so we're currently working on checks and balances so that we know who comes to us, and we have a way to be able to validate who they are and for them to be able to validate themselves, and so that we know that we're not just dealing with a restless student who's just coming to just get a little bit of information and then bounce, or who doesn't have the discipline to stay and work on really the lessons that are being set down before them through their teacher. And this applies in so many different things in life. Okay, I did this. I finished this eight week course. What's next? Okay, so what is your ultimate goal? What are you really, really trying to achieve? What are you trying to prove? Okay, and lastly, do you have the ability to drop into the divine flow? To drop into the divine flow. What is that? Well, we talked earlier about Nature, divine creative force. Some call that energy God, some the creator, some Allah, some goddess. There are many, many different names for that energy that's comprised of both male and female energy. Why? Because there is both male and female in the universe. And so dropping into the flow, that really is how you achieve. When you are one with all things, what does that mean? You come to recognize the presence of the Creator in all things. You become sensitive to the energy around you, and you know your place within it. It is when you come to let certain energies just pass through you, or you pull them to you to hold on to them. When you are in sync, when things are divinely aligned, so that in the midst of chaos, as you recognize the energy, you are able to pull from that center within yourself and then connect outward to the divine so that you have your place of peace. So that as you go into others' homes, that look like craziness to you, that you realize it has nothing to do with you, and that you still are able to see that God force energy, the presence of Nitaru within that person. When you work from a place of love and your heart expands and you're able to feel deep compassion, appropriate compassion, I don't mean patronizing compassion. Compassion comes from understanding because you've walked in those shoes. Compassion is not enabling, but it is helpful at appropriate times. Today is Thursday. In our comedic practice, based off of the tradition that was set down first by Baba Heru Anglasamaj, who began the Ankaring tradition or resurrected the Ankaring tradition in this country amongst African Americans, amongst people of color. He reinforced the days of the week for us, and Thursday is the day of Pitah. Ta is the foundation. He is the establisher. If you put the ta down, okay, in Hebraic language, which would be P-T-H, P-T-H, and you reverse it, you have a tef. To have a foundation within yourself that is firm brings you peace. If you seek peace, you seek a foundation. From the foundation that you can build. In order to build, you need to stay still. Through meditation, you are able to achieve stillness. Through stillness, you are able to achieve meditation. That doesn't mean that you have to sit with music on and, you know, with the various mudras of the fingers and all this. It's beneficial. But it means that you can be in silence and be at peace. There are walking meditations. You know, sometimes you might just want to go for a walk. Be quiet with your thoughts. It is not having fear of being alone and alone with your thoughts. The greatest peace master that I know today is my attestature, my godfather, my beloved attestature Marie, Grandmaster Cam, who is the founder of the Shrine of Kepra, who I was initiated through and who my aunt is through. And he conferred the title of Queen Mother upon me. I am one of the Queen Mothers in the Shrine of Kepra, but I'm also the founder of Akiru Temple of the True Living Waters. But back to Grandmaster. Grandmaster is a martial arts grandmaster. He became a grandmaster at age 25, and he'll be 69 in his next birthday, 68 or 69. Well, he just turned 68 or 69. He achieved mastery in meditation. He teaches meditation. He shares meditation. And I have seen all kinds of things that have gone on in the circumstances in and around the Bed-Stuy neighborhood that he is located in, at Serenity Space, over at 414 Marcus Garvey Boulevard. And nothing rattled him. Nothing. Nothing. And that's because he has worked on achieving peace. That is what I work on daily. That is what I grant you all. As we move forward, we'll learn how, through the Kemetic Path, to tackle all of these questions that I'll put before you. Maybe one of these characteristics sounds like you. Maybe you want to learn how to move forward. Can be done. And you still have a good time doing it. Listen, do something fun for yourself today. You know, make some juice pops. Make some frozen popsicle juice pops. Because having fun is important too. All right? I just wanted to throw this at you before I leave you. I believe in doing things for personal fun and also with your family. So, you know, just go get a tray from the dollar store or even just get some plastic cups, some small plastic cups, fill it up with frozen juice. You know, fresh frozen juice is really good. Or even homemade cashew ice cream, okay? I'll share that recipe with you in the future. You know, take that, put it in the cup, and put it in the freezer as soon as it starts to freeze it up. Stick a popsicle stick in it. You can get popsicle sticks at the dollar store, too. And when it's finished, you'll have a wonderful, wonderful treat. Take your icicle, your popsicle, and go and sit and enjoy your day in peace, with joy, and with. I'm Queen Mother Imaku. Please visit Akeru Temple of the True Living Waters at www.akeruministries.com. And also queenmotherimaku.com to find out where you can take classes and also about my lectures and where you can download my books and my music as well. In Akeru, we say merea, which means much love.
Hetepu means being at peace, feeling good inside. When you're in your home, feeling happy, feeling joy. It also means when you have done well and when you've done a wonderful thing for someone else. Thing that most of us are striving for in life, the quest for inner peace. to your higher self, that inner core.